How Sixers Jazz went down last night. Boom, boom, boom.
And you know, like, we won this game, in my personal opinion.
All that in our personal opinion with this battle. Look at Woody. He's just processing how he can say that I won today's show in my personal opinion. Let's go.
Career leader in his personal opinion.
What are your sources?
Never lost. Who else's opinion are you supposed to be giving other than your personal?
Sometimes he uses mine.
Sixers 131, Jazz 123. It was heated afterwards.
And I'm never wanted to blame a ref, to blame an official. I could say we could have done more, but this is getting out of hand. We won this game, in my personal opinion. It's getting ridiculous, KK, that this is what's happened.
I think it's disrespectful, to be honest, to the game of basketball and to our team. And, you know, hopefully they're going to watch the game. Hopefully they feel ashamed when they watch the game.
For the game, the numbers, Philly took 35 free throws, Utah 19. Jazz were called for 7 more fouls. The way this game played out, and we have to talk about Embiid, I mean, just a force of nature, but the way this played out and those accusations of bias against the small market team, Frank Isola, in your personal opinion, how do Gobert and Mitchell and Jazz come off here? Do they have beef?
Pardon my French, but the defense is wrong. The Utah Jazz, they have nothing to complain about. You know, first of all, they're a three-point shooting team, so you go to the line less. Embiid is one of the more physical players. He takes a lot more free throws. But here's what Donovan Mitchell should be focused on. Last 5 minutes of regulation, overtime, 1-for-11, 2 turnovers, and their other all-star, Rudy Gobert, got absolutely destroyed by Embiid. But I will say this. If you go to playoff games in places like Indiana, Sacramento, Portland, and in Utah, those markets, whether it's the players, mm-hmm. the fans, people in the organization, they are convinced that the league is out to get them, that they don't want to see the small market team in there, and they'll never bring up the fact that San Antonio has done pretty well the last 20 years.
Okay, so no beef for the Jazz last night is what I'm sensing. Justin Tinsley, do the Jazz have beef?
Rudy Gobert is a lot like Escargot. They're both acquired tastes, okay. If you get what I mean, Tony.
I'm following you a little bit, but go ahead, please.
I know you do. But, yes, it was annoying to hear them talk about the small market team. You just heard Frank mention the San Antonio Spurs and their 5 rings. So my first reaction was when I heard it was, cry me a river, build a bridge, and get over it, man. But then when you really think about it, they should be playing that card, especially after the week the refs just had. When they kicked Donovan Mitchell out of the game, and then earlier in the week, it was Devin Booker. So, yes, there is a conversation to be had around the officiating in the league nowadays. But what this game is really about, and we'll get into this in a little bit, it's about Joel Embiid dropping 40 and 19 on Rudy Gobert's head in an act of mass destruction that I'm sure the late, great Wilt Chamberlain would have appreciated.
Woody Page, do the Jazz have any beef with the way last night was officiated?
Well, I can identify with Salt Lake City and the Jazz because as the only person on this screen who actually is in one of those small markets, I think that we are always in a situation where we're being looked down upon by people in New York and Washington, Los Angeles, those places. But here's the point about the Jazz. They shouldn't be complaining. They shoot more three-pointers than anybody in the league by far. So you're not going to go to the free throw line if you're a jump-shooting team. That's number one. Number two, let's talk about some big markets like New York and L.A. They shoot fewer free throws than the Utah Jazz. They're not small market teams. Number three that I want to point out about the Jazz is that if you're not going to go to the basket, and even Gobert doesn't really that much, you're not going to really go to the free throw line. But Donovan Mitchell is in the top 12 in the league of number of free throw attempts with more than 5 a game that he attempts, and he makes more than 4 a game. So why are they having any kind of complaints? Stop your whining. Continue to be the best team in the Western Conference.
All right, you had the statistics. That was season long. Last night specifically, Clinton Yates, the Jazz have beef?
Comme le seul correspondant ici qui parle français, je dis bien sûr. As the lone correspondent here who actually speaks French, I say absolutely. Now, here's the problem, though. That beef is what basketball actually is. Big dudes get fouled more than small dudes, and refs don't call it. Shaquille O'Neal has been telling us this forever. As for Donovan Mitchell, though, he got tossed from that game because of frustration in that game, specifically that had built up. You saw Embiid give him a little tap on the way out, thinking, I know, rough break, my man. It happens. And so So I believe the Jazz actually do believe this. Whether or not the math adds up or not is a different thing, but they are concerned about this, and I think that's why this is a good time to do it. Because if they started this nonsense in the playoffs, people would be like, what are you doing? You had time to say something, and why are you doing it now? They're doing it now again.
That's an interesting point. This is not an original conversation. I know, Justin, you say that an acquired taste is what Gobert is. Well, some would say Luka Doncic complains quite a bit. Frank does. Some would say LeBron does this. Phil Jackson did this every postseason. I want to go back to you on the merit of trying to work the referees.
And it's absolutely part of the NBA fabric. It's the only sport where they talk about how everybody knows the referees' names in the NBA because everyone thinks they have way too much involvement. I actually think it's something that kind of keeps the NBA going. By the way, small market, big market, there was a team in New York in the 90s that all they complained about was that Michael Jordan got every call. So it happens with every franchise all the time.
Mitchell's ejection. Every ejection's different. And I know you brought up earlier in the week with Devin Booker, Justin, but was it a legit ejection?
No, I don't think so. You don't eject the superstar in that game at that moment. You just don't do that. It's a primetime game. If they're complaining about being a small market team, you don't eject the best player on the small market team when it's the
Frank, you're shaking your head no.
Record-wise.
Come on. The rules are the rules. The way that he went at it, they had no other choice. He was carrying on. That's an automatic ejection, and Donovan Mitchell knows that. You have to do that.
All right. The conversation you want to have now about the conversation, about the dialogue of the MVP. Last night, Joel Embiid, it's his real number one for the award. 40-19. That three to force overtime. I mean, come on. And this.
As we saw tonight, it looks like I was very, very scared of him. So, yeah, keep talking.
Clinton, how did you hear Embiid, and what did you see from Embiid?
I think we see a confident guy. I think we see a guy who's coming out and starting strong, which is important. When this guy scores 20 or plus points in any half, never mind the first half, they're 13-5. He needs to be the MVP of this actual team, most importantly, which is what he's finally doing now in order for him to be in the discussion for the rest of it. So for me, he paces this squad. It's a different, mature, motivated Joel. Incroyable.
Mm-hmm. Woody Page.
Yeah, if he's going to motivate himself where he wants to be the defensive player of the year, if nobody else is quite talking about it now, why doesn't he talk about it and say, hey, look at me. I'm the one that is out there just dominating the guy who's won that award in the past. And the other thing is he's got the perfect name for it. If you think about it, MVP, that is so close to MVP that, yes, he's got to be okay. Right there at the top of the conversation.
All right. Three, four.
What do you mean? That was good
information. I've yet to make an assessment on it, Woody Page. I was going to ask our illustrious panel, thumbs up or thumbs down, or MVP. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Oh, that's unfair, Woody Page. Well, it's
bad,
a democracy.
Bad officiating by those guys, I'll say that.
Mr. Tinsley on Embiid and what you saw from him last
night. I think the most important thing, Tony, that we got to watch the rest of the season is that if he can stay healthy, and that's been his problem in the past, that if he can stay on the court and play 35 minutes a game, we know he's one of the best players in the league, mm-hmm. Maybe the best.
Rallying back. There you go, Woody Page. Tinsley on Embiid last night.
One of my favorite movie quotes is from Bad Boys when Will Smith told Martin Lawrence at the end of the movie, that's how you drive. Yeah, yeah. Joel Embiid, that's how you play. Dropping 40-19 on a guy who you felt took your all-NBA honor last year and with the team with the best record in the league, that's how you drive, Joel. And the Joel we're seeing this year, that's who we always wanted to see. He's healthy. He's playing with a chip the size of the Liberty Bell on his shoulder. This is what we love to see. And Tony, only 5 players in league history have ever entered the All-Star break averaging 30 points and 10 rebounds. The last two, I would say that's Russell Westbrook and Giannis. And Joel's doing it right now, so he's making a MVP case in every sense of the word.
Frank Isola.
Embiid was calling out Keith Pompey, the great Keith Pompey of the Philly Inquirer, right about being scared about Gobert. Good to know that the players are still reading the newspapers. That's always great. he hit a shot to tie the game up. You think about it, for a guy that size to race out to the three-point line, hit that turnaround three, that is a tough shot. And the issue with Embiid has always been two things. It's been availability and fitness. And right now, he's got that. That's why he's an MVP.
All right, most wide open race. Who's getting the lead right now as we're heading closely to the All-Star break? Give me one name, Isola. Who's in the lead?
LeBron.
Tinsley.
Embiid.
Page.
Joker.
Yates.
LeBron.
We'll move on. Let's talk Harden last night. The triple-double. the rout in Houston, and smattering, I don't know how you can define it any other way, a reception. Well, let me ask you, Justin, what are you calling that reception?
Look, I'm not calling this a return. If you can hear what the guy in Section 111 is talking about, he's filing his taxes next week, that's not a return. That's not the NBA energy that we need. I want the arenas to be full, so maybe we'll try this again in 2022. Hopefully we can safely go in arenas, but this was not a return. This was just a small gathering of like-minded fans.
All right, so non-starter for you. Isola, how would you qualify that reception and Harden's return?
He caught a big break here. This was not Kevin Durant going back to Oklahoma City, certainly not LeBron going back to Cleveland. I'll say this about Harden, though. He goes out there last night. He just plays his game. He does not get wrapped up in anything. Unlike John Wall and Victor Oladipo, who took 25 and 30 shots respectively. You want to talk about watch the game and feel shame. Those two guys, they were trying to score 50 on Harden's night, and it backfired.
Whoa, you had some smoke across. Well, Clinton, I saw your face when he was calling out John Wall in his return. Go ahead.
It's not about John Wall here, but all of a sudden, everybody's got love for James Harden. Everybody respects his game. Everybody thinks he's the consummate professional. Where was all that energy when he was trying to tell the Rockets, I don't need this mess of a franchise right now. I got bigger plans. The reason why that's important is because on this day, I think both of those sides did well to simply act like adults. It's a little weird when they put tributes in the middle of quarters because everybody's got to stand up there and look while they're sweating. However, overall, they didn't say anything bad about him, and he didn't say anything bad about them either. That's how you're supposed to do this.
I think we've been talking about this for weeks, right? Everyone agrees he's the same person today as he was months ago, but you could acknowledge that he has acknowledged that he had some missteps along the way there, Clinton Yates, right?
Yeah.
Sure, but that's part of being a star in this league who's in the MVP conversation.
Oh, my goodness, Clinton. You're really walking into this fan word today. I let one slide. Woody Page, now, please, send us home, Aaron Harden's return.
I thought it was fair and acceptable, and to kind of counter Justin, there were 3,600 people there last night, so it wasn't like a Wizards crowd this year. It was an actual crowd that responded to
him. Woody knows what he's doing.
I think the people treated him respectfully. I was impressed that the video highlights included what he did in the community, so it showed that he went beyond just being on the court there. And so, there were a smattering of boos. That means they weren't very nice. Right. And I think he handled it well, and the Rockets.
Frank, did you have a last word you wanted?
Bring him back.
I know Clinton's trying to think that he discovered James Harden. Anybody that follows basketball knows he's a great player. The way that he handled showing up for camp was different. He showed up late and out of shape. That's what he was being criticized for.
Smattering of points right now. Everybody's got 19. Yates, 18. We're still working on it. Woody.
You guys have been hating on one of the great economic stimulators of our era for way too long. I'm calling you on it. I got the receipts.
Economic stimulation was that guy talking about his taxes in row 115. We'll be back by ourselves.
He does boost the economy.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Disney's Raya and the Last Dragon. In theaters or order it on Disney Plus with Premier Access Friday.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Quarterbacks in the news. Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger coming to terms. The restructured deal, Ben taking a $5 million pay cut, team frees up $15 million in space. Also today, Diana Russini, the Seahawks are now listening to calls for Russell Wilson, she says in a tweet, although they're not shopping him. Mm-hmm. And Jets GM Joe Douglas on whether he's entertaining trade offers for Sam Darnold. Quote, I will answer the call if it's made, end quote. Clinton Yates, who are you buying? Who are you selling?
I'm selling the Jets here. Reminder, quarterback is the worst coach position in the league, and the Jets are no different. If they got to trade Sam Darnold to get some other rando choice, you don't know he's going to be that much better anyway, so they might not want to pull the trigger on that unless you can definitively get a better quarterback.
Woody Page?
Nothing to see in New York and Pittsburgh that we didn't know before, but Seattle's actually going to listen to people. They only need to take calls from four cities. That's where he said he would play. The rest of them don't matter.
But they may be getting calls from about 30 cities. How about you, Justin?
I'm selling the Jets. The Jets haven't had a 4,000-yard passer since Joe Namath in 1967. In this Darnold era, it's just felt like complete chaos from the beginning. I don't think he's an elite quarterback, but I also don't think that front office gave him much to work with anyway.
Mr. Tinsley, a banned word there. I know it's your sixth show, but you got to know the list. Frank Isola, you buy him, you sell him.
Well, it's interesting for Roethlisberger. He gives back $5 million to stay on the team, improve the Steelers, and to solidify himself as a legend in Pittsburgh. Probably a pretty smart move.
All right, love this next story. You guys got to follow me here, right? Blues Riffin' B, watch me for the changes. Spot and choose overtime. This is a Ravens proposal to the NFL to change overtime to this. One team picking the spot of the ball to start overtime, and then the other team getting to choose whether to play offense or defense. And it'll be sudden death. So here's what it is. The Ravens play Kansas City. Baltimore knows Mahomes is going to want the ball, so they say, okay, you have to start at, and they pick a yard line that they think makes it really tough. The 7-yard line, let's say. And if not, Baltimore gets to start on their own 7. This is strategy, and this is supposedly going to remove the luck of the coin toss. Woody, why are you laughing? Buy or sell spot and choose overtime, please.
Yeah, it's like your mother coming home with a cookie and saying, one of you gets to cut the cookie in half and the other one gets to pick which is the larger half.
I think
it makes no sense to me. I don't understand it. Just have both teams get the ball in overtime. What is this about? What were they doing in Baltimore? Sitting around trying to think of the goofiest thing they could?
Justin Tinsley, buy or sell this?
I'm buying it, even though it gave me cold sweats thinking about high school calculus. I love the chaos. The NBA changed up their All-Star game a couple of years ago, and I've loved it ever since then. Okay. Plus, Tony, anything that can cut down on potential tie games, I'm all for trying it.
Now to our agent of chaos, Frank Isola.
You know what? There are too few games in the NFL to have gimmicks like this. Just give both teams the ball. If you score, you have to go for 2 points. Easily settled.
Clint Yates.
Yeah, I'll buy this because it reminds me of the international tiebreaker rule coming to baseball. It's got like a football camp style vibe where it offers a little creativity in the situation. One caveat though, regular season, sure. Playoffs, I don't need this.
A second caveat, how long is it going to take the referee to explain this before it? I mean, we had players who didn't know that it's a sudden death recently.
It's already long anyway.
What the rules are. I'm in the showdown, in my opinion.
Clinton Yates. Justin Tinsley, have an afternoon.
If you really
think about it, showdown is in 2 minutes. Not really. Woody Page and Frank Isola. Next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Woody Page, Frank Isola, good luck in Showdown.
I couldn't figure that out by myself after 45 years. I need a reporter to figure that out who's never played basketball and is 5'2".
And that's a big sip after that, too. Woody, did Jim Boeheim go too far there, or was that funny?
He went a little bit far when he was talking about the reporter's height, but he's been funny like that, and you just have to kind of roll the punches, but he just went over the edge.
Frank Isola?
If I'm the reporter, I take it as a feather in my cap. Jim Boeheim's always had this relationship with the media. As you know, Syracuse has the big communications journalism department, not as good as Maryland, but they got one there. He's always kind of butted heads with those guys.
Woody Page, prop comic. Frank Isola gets the point, though. Triple-double with steals. 4 points. Does anybody know how many there have been in NBA history? Anyone?
11.
There are now 11. Exactly right, Frank. T.J. McConnell, 16, 13, and 10 steals last night. He had 9 steals in the first half, the NBA record. How impressive, Frank?
I was at his first triple-double. He's had one before. I was there. I'll tell you what was impressive, too. Mason Plumlee, Dennis Smith Jr., starters for Detroit both had triple-doubles last night.
Frank, it's very impressive, but I'll tell you what's more impressive. Nobody in the history of high school, college, or the NBA has ever had a quintuple-double. Come back to me when that happens.
5 across the board. All right, we had quadruple-doubles before. I'd love to see one. We're getting close. Frank Isola was there. He gets the point. Showdown 3, Baker Mayfield is a UFO spotter now. Tweeted that he saw a bright ball of light falling from the sky into Lake Travis. Do you believe Baker, and do you believe in UFOs, Woody?
Yes, I believe they're UFOs. I mean, I've been down to the area in Arizona where there is one still there. But in regard to falling out of the sky, he really needed a tight end to fall out of the sky.
Okay.
See, now, if I was a wise guy, I could say maybe he saw the star of OBJ falling out of the sky. But you know what it was? It was those bats that are under the bridge in Austin
what
flying out.
What are you guys talking about? I don't know what we're doing with you. Frank, take the FaceTime. 30 seconds.
There we go. On July 4th, 1939, Lou Gehrig, the study of grace and courage, called himself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. At the time, he was dying of ALS. Major League Baseball doesn't get a lot of things right. I know on April 15th, they honor the life and legacy of Jackie Robinson. And now on June 2nd every year, they're going to honor the life and legacy of Lou Gehrig by drawing awareness to this dreaded disease that goes by his name. Good job at Major League Baseball.
Frank, thank you for bringing that up. I mean, it's a disease that Americans don't know. It's always fatal. It's always fatal. And it's been touched by our family here. Chris Fagan, father of Kate Fagan, in his fight with ALS. Kate has just written a new book, All the Colors Come Out, about this fight. It's a beautiful story. I hope you all have a chance to read it. Thank you for that FaceTime. We'll see you tomorrow.